All right, tonight, if you want to take your Bibles, turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm number 27. Psalm number 27. This is a psalm of David, and David, as we know, was a very embattled king. He had a lot of battles, a lot of enemies, and a lot of bloodshed during his time and his kingdom. And the reason that the Lord did not let David build the temple was because he was a bloody king. A lot of death during his reign, and of course there was very many people that were enemies of David, and he was embattled continually as a king. And many times he was on the mountaintop, and we have many good good psalms that David wrote as rejoicings. Then we have some of those psalms that were written during times of battle. And then some, like the psalm tonight, David is on high ground at the first part of this psalm, and then not too far down in it, David is in despair. And we will look at these verses tonight. We'll not look at all the verses. We'll read from verse number 7, and then make some comment about the first six verses also. Verse number 7 of Psalm number 27, it says, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me, not thy servant away from anger, and that thou may be my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, lead me in the plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of my enemy, for false witness are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the hand of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Here we find David in these verses. The psalmist is crying out unto the Lord and letting us know the need that he had was very, very great. And sort of tonight we'll sort of compare David and the need that he had and the need that we have. And certainly the needs that David had are very common to the child of God, because we do not live perfectly in an ungodly world, and we certainly live in a world that is foreign to the things of God. And in our best moments, we still need the Lord. In our best times and our mountaintop experiences, we do certainly need the Lord. When you look at these verses in Psalm 27, you'll find the first six verses, David is literally on a joyous hilltop or mountaintop, rejoicing in the things that God had done for him. And we see in verses 1, 2, 3, he says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumble and fail. Though the host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Through war should rise against me, in this will I be confident." We find in these first three verses that David is delighting in the Lord. He is rejoicing in the companionship that God had given to him. And he said, even though my enemies come against me, he said, I'm not going to fear. He said, even though the wicked are there, they will stumble and they will fall. And so we find that David here in these the first part of the chapter, he has great confidence in the Lord. He delights in the Lord in the past things that have happened, and then also in the promise that God has given him, that he says, I'm not going to fear, even though the enemy come up against me and rage against me. And then in verse number 4 through 6, we find his desire of the Lord. He says, this thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. And so here we find that David is rejoicing, and his desire is to be in the very presence of God. You and I tonight, I believe as a Christian, we should have that same desire to be in the presence of the Lord, to be in the place where God can help us and can bless us and use us. David here uses a phrase that he has in other scripture. He says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Psalm 23 says, I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so he wanted the companionship. He wanted the presence of the Lord and the companionship of the Lord's people. And he dwells upon that. And the house of the Lord, present time, and then for the protection that God would give him. But when we read a moment ago, starting in verse number 7, it seems as though David falls off of the high plane that he's on, and all of a sudden he's in despair. Someone says, how can that happen so quickly in one little passage of Scripture? It happens quickly in a passage just like it happens quickly in our life. Sometimes we can be rejoicing in the Lord, and all of a sudden the devil comes upon us and we become discouraged and despair. Someone says that faith and fear live right beside each other, and I believe that's probably true. We can have faith in the Lord, and all of a sudden the fear comes upon us, and then we wonder, where is the Lord? And so in these verses that we want to primarily look at tonight, verses 7 through 12, we read through 14, but it'd be primarily through 12, we want to look at the need that David recognized, and he said, my need is so very burdensome upon him. And of the experiences of a Christian, sometimes we realize we can remember the past, we can remember the good times, we can remember the high plains, but all of a sudden we're in the valley of the shadow of death. And it's like a roller coaster ride. Sometimes the child of God has a high point, and then all of a sudden he's in a valley. When he's in a valley, then he comes back up into another high point of his life. And so tonight I want us to look here just for a few minutes concerning the need that David expressed, and that is the same need that we have tonight. And we'll have it every day, every year of our life. The same need is there, and it's explained here and shown here in verses 7 through 12. Whatever a man experiences, thank God he can bring it to the Lord. He can bring it to the Lord to help him and to show mercy upon him. So I want us to look at four things tonight. I won't take long to go through that. And just notice the need that David expresses unto the Lord. And remember, he's in a valley now, and he recognizes the need that he has. Verse number 7. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. Here David was expressing the need for divine mercy, or the grace of God. Thank the Lord tonight for His grace and for His mercy. His mercy withholds things that would harm us and the devil would use against us. He is merciful to us in that He saved us. And His grace gives to us those things that we do not deserve. And the mercy and the grace of the Lord, he says, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice." And so tonight we look at the cry of David. Have mercy upon me and answer me. And all the needs that a child of God has can be fulfilled in the presence of the Lord. To realize, Lord, I have nothing of my own that I can bring. I have nothing that I can offer. I just depend upon you. Have mercy on me. I'm glad tonight God showed mercy when he saved us. But you know, he still shows mercy every day of our life, that he gives us life and breath and gives us a way of serving and living for the Lord. Of all the needs the child of God has, I think the greatest need is the grace of God that he gives to us. We are saved by grace. We serve the Lord by grace. We do everything we do by his grace, that unmerited favor that we did not deserve, that we could not work for, we could not purchase, but it is a gift of God. And God gives us faith to believe and grace to deliver the salvation that we have, all the work for God that we do. Sometimes the work for God is difficult. Sometimes the devil stands against us strong, as I believe the enemy of David was standing against him very strongly. And David said, "Lord, hear my cry." Who else can we cry to? Who else can we call upon? We can tell our friends. We can tell our loved ones. We can tell those that's close to us. But they can only do so much. But thank God for his mercy upon us and his grace. And so therefore David had learned that when I'm in despair, I cry to our God. I cry to the Lord. And says he asks for the mercy of God to be upon him. Only the grace of God can keep us from falling. Only the grace of God can keep us in the right path, and that we can be delivered unto him. We are desperately in need of the grace of God. We are here tonight by the grace of the Lord. We live today, and if we live tomorrow, we'll live by his grace to us. And so David, after experiencing some of the highs that are mentioned there in these first six verses, all of a sudden he says, "Lord, I'm in despair." All of a sudden he says, "Hear, Lord, when I cry, have mercy upon me," and not just have mercy, but Lord, answer me. You know, it's one thing to cry unto the Lord. It's another thing for the Lord to answer our cry. And thank God for answered prayer. All of us tonight could experience and could make reference in our lives how God has answered some specific prayers that we've had, and that God delivered in many different ways and many different areas as we served him. And David now is running for his life. And if you read the background and what was taking place during this time, if his enemies overtook him, they were going to kill him. And so he cries to the Lord for mercy and said, "Lord, would you answer me? Make sure I know you heard my cry and answer my petition." So tonight, David needed that grace of God that would deliver him through the struggles and the problems and the wars and the battles that he was in. You and I tonight, we need the same grace. I don't know what we'll face tomorrow or next week or next month. We have no idea of maybe some of the hardships that will come upon us, but I'm glad his mercy is there. I'm glad his grace is there. I'm glad that he hears us, and then I'm glad that he can answer our cry. And so David, as he comes down from the plain of rejoicing, he realizes that it could be over for him very quickly, and he says, "Lord, hear my cry." The grace of God delivers once again. Not only is he in need of God's grace, but in verse number 8 and 10, we find that he is needing to be in companionship with God's people. Verse number eight, when thou saidest, "Seek ye my face," my heart said unto thee, "Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. put not thy servant away in anger, and thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Then he says, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Forsake me not. And he wanted the presence of the Lord. Over in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul tells us that not only do we need the presence of the Lord, but we need the presence of the Lord's people. I'd hate to think I'd go through my life or through very many days without having some companionship with God's people, to have fellowship, to be able to share the burdens and to be able to even cry together and rejoice together. And so he wanted the gathering of the Lord to come to him, the presence of God, and the presence of the Lord to uphold him and strengthen him. He says, Lord, you said, seek ye my face. And my heart said, thy face, Lord, will I seek. We will seek the presence of the Lord and be gathered unto him and to have that fellowship that no one else can give unto us. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. Now, it's not hard for us tonight to see the day approach. Paul was talking about there the day of the Lord, the day in which I believe we're living in, a day of perversion, and everywhere you look, it's just bombarding us from every corner. You turn on the radio, you turn on the TV, whatever you're watching, and you go down the street. I read a obituary today of a fellow that he's a little bit older than I am, and the obituary said he leaves his husband. And I thought, oh, here it is again. And so everywhere we look and everywhere we go, there is perversion on every hand. And if it wasn't for the presence of the Lord, and if it wasn't for the presence of God's people and the fellowship of God's people, we would be out in the world just wandering around and not having any refreshment from God or from his people. But David says here, Lord, you said seek my face, and I'm going to seek your face. And so tonight we should be gathering our hearts to the Lord. As we see the day approaching, how much the more we ought to gather together with God's people and to rejoice together in the things of the Lord, and that we could have encouragement. It's good to know that God's still on the throne. Now, if you watch CNN, if you watch Fox or whatever you want to watch, you're not going to think too much about God being on any throne. But we know from the Word of God that he's on the throne. He's controlling. He takes care of us. He helps us. He watches over us. He protects us. And David said, dear Lord, I need you. I need to seek your face because you have told me to do that. If we do not seek his face, then I believe we falter in our life. If we do not pray, I believe we sin against the Lord. If we do not study our scripture, then I believe those are things that will help us to develop as a child of God. And if we don't do that, then we are lacking in our personal walk with the Lord. If we walk with God and God walks with us, it doesn't matter what the world says or what the world does. Thank God he still knows where I am. He knows how to take care of me. He knows how to take care of you. He knows how to deal with every problem, every situation, every sickness, every area of our life. God knows how to deal with that and to help us. But we must first be gathered to him. We must first be willing to seek his face and to rejoice in the saints of God and to have the fellowship of God's people. David's need is my need. David's need is your need. He needed the grace of God. He needed the presence of the Lord. He needed the seeking of God's help and coming together, dwelling in the house of the Lord. And he says, I need to be dwelling there. I will seek after them that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Why do we do that? It says here in verse number 4, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. To behold who God is. And then to, the word inquire means to learn or to request of Him. And so David needed grace. David needed this gathering with the Lord. And then thirdly, he needed the guidance of God. Verse number 11, it says, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. Lord, lead me right. Why? Because there's enemies out there to devour. There are enemies out there to destroy. David felt the need of protection, I believe, from a danger maybe that was unseen and unknown to him, but he knew it was there because the devil is always lurking, always there, trying to deceive us and trying to trying to destroy us. And so God can lead us every step of the way. He leads us in paths of righteousness for His namesake. He leads us beside still waters. He leads us in the path that He desires for us to go. And every one of us in here tonight, though we be few, we all need the guidance from the Lord. He may guide you differently than He does me, but it's always right as far as our life is concerned. My need is different maybe than your need and your desires and my desire. Our lives are different, but God knows how to guide us. God knows how to direct us. And David says, Lord, teach me thy way. Teach me what is the right way. Teach me how to go the right path. And he says here, lead me in a plain path, not a complicated. I'm glad God's not complicated. To you and I, He's very simple that we can call upon Him and we know He will answer us. To the world, He's very complicated. To the world, He's very unknown. But you and I tonight that have the grace of God and have the blessings of the Lord upon us, we know that He leads us every path of the way. The enemies of our soul may leap at us and may lunge at us, but I'm glad God can steer us away from that. Things that happen in our life, the Lord uses to help us follow in the pathway that He has for us. This is spoken of many times in the Old Testament. And it also is spoken of in the New Testament, how that God leads and guides His people. Now, this world out here, they're not His people. And really, He doesn't lead them any way. Romans 8:28, the verse of Scripture that we so many times quote, that all things work together for good to them that are the called, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Not everything that happens to the world is for their good. But you and I, as a believer, all things work together for good. Some of those all things include hardships, includes sadness, includes difficulties. But when you see the whole scope of the picture, God makes everything work out for our good. Not all of it is happy times. Not all of it is joyous times, but everything God grants to us and God delivers to us, it is for our good. And that's the guidance that God gives to His people. We are led. We are sheep of His pasture. He is our great shepherd. He's our good shepherd. He's the shepherd of our soul. The Bible says He's the shepherd and bishop of our soul. He's the watch care over us. And so David said, Lord, I need your grace. Lord, I need to have those around me. I need to have your presence. Lord, I need your guidance. I need your help to show me which way to turn. Sort of coming to a crossroad. Do I go left or right, or go straight ahead? I'm glad the Holy Spirit that lives within us can direct us. He can help us. That's His guidance. And sometimes we wonder about having to make certain decisions in life and not knowing for sure which decision is right. That's when the Lord can take over. That's when the Lord can impress upon our heart what to do and which way to turn. I've always tried to have it in my life, if I wasn't comfortable with one decision, then I'm not going to do that. Not until the Lord gives me comfort and gives me peace about it. And there's times that you know exactly what God wants. You know exactly which way to turn. But there are sometimes we just don't know, and we must depend upon the Lord. And as He gives us confidence in our life, as He gives us guidance in our steps, then we can follow Him and know that everything will be well. We don't have to fear the enemy. The enemy has already been defeated. It's going to just in the process of time. There'll be a day come when he's done. It's over. All the wickedness in this world, one of these days their knee will bow before our God, just like our knee will bow. Doesn't matter who they are, where they're from, how much money they have or do not have. We're all going to stand before God the same way, and we're going to give an account to Him of our deeds. And so God gives us guidance. He helps us. He encourages. He nudges us along the way sometime, because there is an enemy out there that is like a roaring lion. Well, I'm glad the Lord can stop the lion's mouth as He did for Daniel. And so we find that David said, I must have these things. When he's on top of the world there in verses 1 through 6, he wasn't needing that. He wasn't expressing that. But now, all of a sudden, his heart has come to the point that he must have mercy of the Lord. And he said, God, I need Your grace. I need Your guidance. I need Your presence. And then lastly, in verse 12 through 14, he said, Lord, You must give me Your protection or Your guard. Verse number 12, deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Teach me Thy way. I'm in the land of the living. And he says, Lord, I would have fainted if it hadn't have been for the goodness of the Lord. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. David had an understanding that God had to protect him, that God had to guard him. Apart from this, apart from the guardianship of the Lord over our lives, where would we be? If it wasn't for God's protection and God's guard over us, where would we go? Which direction would we have taken maybe years ago that would have changed the destiny of our life? If it hadn't been for the guard of the Lord, many times we would make terrible decisions, but the Lord helps us. And so David says here, deliver me not over to the will of mine enemies. Now David was thinking about present tense enemies that were after him. And they were wanting to kill him. And so David is expressing his desire for God's help, because he said, Lord, don't deliver me to them. There's false witnesses that have that rose up against him, and they breathe out cruelties. So here in verse number 12, there are enemies, there are false witnesses, and they breathe out cruel things. David was at the bottom of the run when he gets here to verse number 11. Verse number 12. Verse number 13, I had fainted. Oh, thank God for that next word, unless. I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You and I tonight, we're in the land of the living. We are on the top side of God's green earth, and we're breathing God's air, we're eating God's food, and we're rejoicing in the goodness of the Lord. But David said, my enemy's coming after me, and I would have fainted if it hadn't been for the goodness of the Lord. I would have given up. I would have faltered. I would have failed. I would have been done away with if it hadn't been for God's goodness toward us. And so may God help us tonight to realize we need the same thing that David needed in the despair of his soul. He needed God's grace. He needed the gathering of God's people along with the presence of the Lord. He needed the guidance of God, and he needed the guard of the Lord over his life. And I need that. I know I need that. And you need that. We all need those four things to keep us in the walk of the Lord. And then we want it right now. And David says, wait, I say, on the Lord. One of the hardest things that we can do as a Christian is to wait for the direction that God gives to us. To wait for the answer. I'll seek your face, but Lord, now you need the answer. And sometimes God answers immediately, but sometimes God does not answer immediately. And David says, wait on the Lord. More than once David said that. More than once that's in the Scripture, that we are to wait upon the Lord. May God help us to recognize our need. My need, oh my need, is the grace of God, the goodness of the Lord, the guidance of the Lord, and His guard, His protection upon us. I'm sure we realize if the Lord withdrew His protection from us just for a moment, well, the devil would be on us to destroy us. He's a destroyer. He's a deceiver. But I'm glad I have the shield of the Holy Spirit. He lives within me. He guides us. He directs us. He gives us these things for our life. And He gives us an armor that we can put on to fight the battle. We have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We have the shield of faith that can move here, move here, move here. Just nowhere further back. All those different armament that God gives us in the book of Ephesians, He gives us that so that He guards us spiritually in our walk with the Lord. Let's stand together tonight and just rejoice in God's goodness to us and His blessings upon us.